Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI on this Friday, May the 3rd, 2013. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend. The good news is the winds will start to diminish after a very, very windy evening. It's highly unusual here in Tucson to have that kind of a wind kicking up all night long. But as the window kept rattling, it was bothering me and keeping me awake, so I could do without winds all night. Anyway, I am Bill Buckmaster. Thanks a lot for joining us. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, the program's available as we post it to buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com, and we have a link to our show prominently displayed on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. That's gvnews.com, and there's also a link on the homepage of blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry is Dan Scheer. Speaking of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, Dan is the editor of those two publications. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Huckleberry, he'd be glad to hear from you at 790-2040. First of all, Dan, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Good to see you. And Mr. Huckleberry, Chuck, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Good afternoon.
Some confusion over property tax rates. We had a headline in the Star that some people may have just read the headline and thought, oh my goodness, I better get some extra money together for property taxes.
That's correct. If you just read the headline, you think your property tax bill is actually going to go up 5% next year from the county, and that's just not correct. The property taxes the county collects for operating county government next year under the budget I proposed to the board will be actually $4.3 million less than the property taxes we collected this year. Therefore, the actual total taxes are going down about 1.2%. Now, that's not a lot, but it's not a 5% increase.
But the rate itself will go up a little bit?
Yes, the rate has to go up because the tax is really a combination of the tax rate times the assessed value. And our tax rate, we're going to raise in the aggregate 5%. So there's the 5% increase. But our assessed value in Pima County is still going down. It goes down 8%. So the net is actually less. And so that's why we will collect fewer taxes next year to operate county government.
And folks can look for your op-ed piece clarifying this some more in the Arizona Daily Star, I believe, on Sunday.
On Sunday, we hope, yes.
And you probably didn't write the headline for that particular op-ed.
I didn't, and we'll see what happens. But yeah. I think it's just, yeah. It's how important a single word can be. And yeah. I know, and I even in the discussion I had in the Star, it's difficult for headline writers, and I understand that. But the outcome here was kind of one that was a little concerning.
And here's someone who understands about headline writing, Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
That's right, and it's not easy. Chuck, you and I just returned from Green Valley. There was a public forum down there led by Supervisor Ray Carroll, and transportation came up, and you said, I'll use your words, you said if you want to avoid a third world transportation system, we need to take some steps. And you offered a couple of ideas. Can you go into those? And I'm talking specifically about the underground storage tax and the gas tax.
Yes. The easiest one to actually get some money invested back in transportation in the state is to take the underground storage fund, which is our gas tax in Arizona is 19 cents a gallon and has been 19 cents a gallon since 1991. One penny of that tax actually goes into this underground storage fund that was for leaking underground storage facilities, gasolines, oil, that type of thing. Been in place for 20 years. That fund is about to expire December 31st of this year, 2013. What I've suggested is that it's a fairly painless way to increase revenues to transportation is rather than letting that fund lapse and the penny lapse, just direct that penny that exists today back into transportation. So that's about a $39 million amount of additional revenue that go into transportation statewide. Obviously, it would help everybody, and that's one of the suggestions I've made.
And then the other one about the raising the gas tax.
Yes, the other suggestion I don't think will go over very well, but it's reality. And the reality is we haven't raised that gas tax since 91, and we have four or five surrounding states that have a gas tax that's 10 cents a gallon higher than Arizona's. And so I'm suggesting if we really want to reinvest in transportation, we got to bite the bullet and raise gas taxes. 1991, fuel prices were probably about 80 cents a gallon. We had a 19-cent gas tax. Well, when gasoline is $4 a gallon, we still have a 19-cent gas tax. Over that period, the value of that $1 in maintenance, what it buys today is 50% of what it was in 91. So we have a problem, and the only way we're going to address the problem is really get a little courage and put some revenue back in our transportation systems.
Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator. To put the road picture into perspective, to really do it right, it would cost how much, Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, just for the county's unincorporated share to actually bring all of our roads up to fair or good condition as rated by engineers, we need to invest $268 million. Now, we're putting some Band-Aids on it. We put $20 million in highway maintenance in our budget last year. That we're going to put probably another $5 million outside of what we call a highway user revenue fund coming from our general fund, which is property tax supported. It's not going to solve the problem. We really need to, you know, stop the sweeps that have been occurring at the state legislature. We need to redirect the 1 cent, and then we need to ultimately talk about investing in transportation in this community and in this state if we're going to avoid a catastrophe in our transportation system.
Here's Dan Scheer again of the Green Valley News.
You know, you actually mentioned another way that we could maybe help ourselves to getting better roads, and I found it very interesting. On May 14th, you're going to propose to the supervisors, I guess it's a cost-sharing agreement, might involve improvement districts. How would this work exactly?
Yes, Dan. In the statutes, people can actually, in associations and neighborhoods, can get together and form an improvement district, and that by law is one way in which a majority of those individuals can actually make an improvement in their area. And it's a levy. It goes against the property tax. It's paid back by the property tax. And once a majority approves an improvement district, everybody has to contribute. So there aren't any free riders.
Right.
And what we've always suggested is that in this situation, we don't really like that method, but it's out of desperation that you can do something, and perhaps the county would kind of incentivize these improvement districts by offering a cost sharing where perhaps we would pick up 25% of the cost or more.
790-2040, a caller has a question about property taxes, so let's go right to the Buckmaster Show live line, and I believe we have David with us. David, you're with Chuck Huckleberry. Go ahead.
Yes, it's not a question, but there's some information I found out about the fact that the legislature is sweeping away our HERF funds that we need for our roads, and where the money is going is they're using it to build freeways out to nowhere around Phoenix. I found out that they want to build a freeway to loop around the Australia Mountains through the Rainbow Valley, where there's nothing. It's just rural. It's open desert. And they want to build it there so developers can go in there and start developing that area. And they did that before, about 15, 20 years ago. They built this Sun Valley Parkway circled around White Tank Mountains. When they built that, there was nothing out there. There's no need for it. But to allow developers to start scraping the desert, putting a whole lot of development out there, just benefits developers, and that's where our HERF money is going.
Okay, David, thanks a lot.
Yeah, David, you're kind of right and you're wrong. You're right in the fact that there's been sweeps, and to date, over the last 10 years, the legislature has swept $39.2 million of county HERF money that could have gone in to maintain your streets better. With regard to the freeway system up there, they've had an RTA type of tax or a half-cent sales tax for transportation 20 years before Pima County, and that's really what they've been using to build that freeway system up in Maricopa County.
So it's not really coming
not coming out of our sweep. Money, but our SWEPT is actually gone to balance the state budget for everything else.
Okay. Can we take another one, Rose, before we take the break? We'll go again to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim, you are up next. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Chuck Huckleberry.
Good afternoon, Bill and Chuck.
Thank you.
It's Jim Kelly. It's good to see you last night, Chuck.
Thanks, Jim.
I want to ask you about the Aerospace Corridor and Parkway program. Do you have any plans on showing how much money that could bring in to our region as opposed to how much it's going to cost us in bonding?
Yes, Jim. We're doing a cost-benefit analysis right now that basically indicates that the benefits to actually building a parkway-type connector between I-10 and I-19 and facilitating employment center growth down there is about a 10-to-1 return on your investment. And so, yeah, it's going to cost the locals and the state some money, but basically it pays for itself in short order. Just in the user cost associated with the transportation users, if you then throw in the economic benefits associated with growth and job development, it's even more.
All right. Chuck Huckleberry is with us. We're going to take Chuck here on the Buckmaster Show live line before we take the break. Go ahead, Chuck. You're with another Chuck, Chuck Huckleberry.
Mr. Huckleberry, I'm just curious. Are you going to have open discussions where the public can join in on the budget and that the each department head participates in that to justify what he or she is doing as far as the budget goes? What they need?
Well, Chuck, absolutely. We have it at the very lowest level. You can participate in that right now. All you got to do is go to www.pima.gov, click on the budget. There's an entire, you know, the budget's completely laid out, every page of the budget. It's about 500 pages. And we even have a comment and question section to where you can actually ask questions or make comments so that we can get your input. We've taken that input down to the very lowest level. We want to hear from every taxpayer.
So he could do it right now.
Right now if he wants to.
All right. Chuck Huckleberry is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Shear is here from Green Valley. We will be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:21 on this Friday afternoon, we can still get in a couple more calls before the bottom of the hour, 790-2040 with Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. With us, Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. Mr. Huckleberry, I want to talk a little bit about the county and the hospital. Pima County's new budget includes $15 million for the hospital operated by University of Arizona Health Network. How is the hospital doing?
It's the former Keno Community Hospital that was taken over and operated by University Physicians, Inc. in 2004. It's gone through a lot of transition. There's finally been a merger within the university, College of Medicine, associated with both, really combining UPI, the Physicians Network, with UMC, the hospital system. Now they've actually formed a two-hospital academic teaching center. They're doing great, and we're very, very pleased with it. The $15 million we're supplying is basically to help offset the disproportionate share of non-insured individuals who gain access to care through the emergency room, and to support the teaching mission of the hospital and the College of Medicine. Their numbers are way up. Their performance is way up. We could not be pleased more with the turnaround of that facility.
Is there an economic development component with all this?
Yeah, there's a huge economic development component in the sense that, the only sector of employment that grew during the Great Recession was in healthcare. And so we have that to add. We also have a public health center, and so we operate that Keno campus as part of – we have the hospital, we have the mental health facilities, a crisis recovery center, and we also have a public health building. In that, we've just located a firm called Accelerate. And Accelerate is a new biosciences firm, startup, started with just a few employees. They got over 30. We made some economic concessions to them, and we said, you got to have 30 employees, and you got to pay an average of $60,000. Well, they got 45 employees, and they pay an average of $110,000.
Wow.
So they're a huge success.
So they've been a big success here.
And I understand that perhaps if the scheduling's right, we've had the anchor from CBS Evening News in, and they're going to probably be headlined on the CBS Evening News, I think, as early as tonight.
Wow.
Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Let me take you back to Green Valley, the Community Performance and Arts Center, which is county-owned, and the complex, the part that Pima Community College owns is empty, but CPAC has struggled the last couple of years because of the downturn, but it is a jewel in that community. What is the county's commitment to this and helping it get through this?
We're pretty committed to basically seeing them successful. We understand ups and downs. You know, we go through those ourselves. And so I think what I'll be doing in recommending the budget is really taking into consideration some long-term funding to keep them open and actually get them to the point of where they can be more self-sufficient. And so it's going to be one of the things and one of the modifications of the recommended budget that I have when it comes to final adoption. I think it would be very foolish of us to abandon a multi-million-dollar investment in a building, simply close it and deprive the community of those services.
But as it stands right now, there is nothing in the budget.
There is nothing in the budget, and I left it that way to allow the supervisors to make a decision as to whether or not they wanted to, you know, basically come in and make an effort to fund it. If there's no movement in that area, I will make a recommendation to the budget, and then it's up to the members of the board who actually affirm and pass a county budget to include it, and I'm going to strongly recommend that it be included.
790-2040. We can get another question in for Chuck Huckleberry on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. We began the conversation with Mr. Huckleberry this afternoon talking about property taxes, property tax rates, but we haven't really talked about the budget document itself. Mr. Huckleberry, Chuck, if you would explain this year's, it will be the budget for the fiscal year, which begins July 1.
Yes.
What kind of package are we looking at?
Well, you're looking at a package that basically maintains existing services. Really doesn't do anything new, doesn't add any more police officers to the street, create any more courts. It's really what we would call a maintenance of effort budget, because we forecast that we're still going to be in an economic contraction of the property tax base for probably two more years. So what we've done is recommended a package that we felt was acceptable. It actually is a tax reduction for next year. But it does have some items in it that, for the very first time in 6 years, a very modest employee raise, an appropriation of $5 million to continue to maintain our streets, and an appropriation of about $4 million to actually assist the Sheriff's Department and the county attorney through the loss of federal grants because of the federal sequester.
As far as manpower with the sheriffs, man and women power for the Sheriff's Department, that will be pretty much the same?
Pretty much the same, pretty much constant. I think our entire budget has maybe a 10 FTE swing in it, and positively out of about 6,800. So it's relatively flat. And you got to remember, since the Great Recession started in 8, we've actually reduced county employment by almost 14%.
Here's Dan Scheer again.
And to go out a little farther, how has the sequester in Washington affected Pima County directly?
Well, it is already having an effect because we're having to backfill grants that have been relied on by the county attorney for criminal prosecution. And that's the $1.5 million extra money that we've actually put in the county attorney's office. And that's in that budget, and it's in the recommended primary property tax rate. And we probably will see more of that in the future, particularly in the area of employment and training, as well as the community development block grant program.
I get asked this question a lot, so I just want to go back and sweeping funds 101. Why is the state allowed to do this? If a fund is supposed to be set aside for a specific purpose, why is the state allowed to come through and just do what they want with it?
Well, there's two areas. One, we're more susceptible than anybody else to sweeps because we're simply a county is a political subdivision of the state. And so it's easy for them to sweep our money. It's much more difficult.
So on the flow chart, you're basically part of the
state. We're part of the state, and so they get to come take our money and, you know, say thank you. Cities and towns are a little different because they're charter, and so they're a little more immune to that. The problem that you really get into, and I think where Dan is talking about, where they sweep funds that are, you know, constitutionally protected, we think, like the HRF money.
Right.
But what they end up doing is they say, well, HRF is for transportation purposes, and, you know, the state police agency, DPS, is they patrol the streets, so therefore that's transportation. Therefore, we're going to fund DPS out of HRF, even though they haven't. So it's just kind of a shift that probably would pass muster in a lawsuit, but doesn't pass muster with the common person who understands that my gas tax ought to be going to fix my streets.
And the HRF, we should probably say that is an acronym for the
Highway User Revenue Fund. And it's really a collection of gas taxes and vehicle license taxes and the taxes on tires and other things.
Dan, real quick, we have Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. We've only got about less than a minute. Go ahead, Dan.
Very quickly. We seem so dependent on the federal government. Tell us what would happen if we cut our federal income tax in half and increased our state income tax by double. What would happen?
Well, you get a lot more local service, that's for sure, and probably a lot less national defense. That's all.
Okay. Thank you for Dan for the question to Chuck Huckleberry. And Mr. Huckleberry, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, thanks a lot. And Dan Scheer will stick around with us, and we will have our Friday Reporters Roundtable waiting in the wings to join us in studio. Mr. Dylan Smith, Dylan, the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, as we talk about the week's top stories.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Not only is the job report for April better than many economists expected, turns out that February and March are looking better as well. The Labor Department reports the economy added 165,000 jobs in April, but also the numbers for the previous 2 months were far higher than first reported. The administrator of the fund that was created for people injured in the Boston Marathon bombings and for the families of those who were killed plans to hold meetings with victims next week and start cutting checks by the end of June. That fund has raked in $28 million. Authorities have been searching the woods near the campus of the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth, part of the investigation of the Boston Marathon bombings. Wall Street, the Dow's up about 138 points, the NASDAQ ahead 38. More details at srnnews.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon, 12:34. Dan Scheer is here. Dan is the editor, and he is with Green Valley News, Sarita Sun, and Dylan Smith is with us. He's the publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. And once a week here on the Buckmaster Show, we invite local reporters to come and join me to talk about the week's top stories. Perhaps you would like to join in the conversation. You are welcome to at any point during our conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Dylan, how are you?
Great. I'm coughing a little bit, so pardon my dust, as it were.
You are not alone. That I've been kind of feeling hoarse from all the dust in the air. It's nasty.
It's a little bit much when you can't see across the valley. You can't see the mountains.
You know? Yeah. Dan, any kind of wrap-up comments about the county? You were at that event today with Mr. Huckleberry.
Well, as always, he's very direct with the folks, and I think they appreciate that, and he does have a good way of helping us understand a 500-page, $1.2 billion budget. A couple of other things that he said. There was this morning in Green Valley was that for 20 years the county's been running a deficit. I think that surprised a few people. The sweeping of the funds, which we've talked about, which is angers people, $39 million of those HERF funds, I think, over the last 10 years, that can build a lot of roads. So, but for the most part, people are real concerned about the roads. That was probably the number one issue. And then how we're going to not only shore up what's breaking, but also move ahead. The Canoa Ranch project is one of them, and a couple other things going on.
And to fix the roads, Dylan, the administrator said it would be something like $250 million in work that would need to be done.
And that's in the county. You know, the city's looking at a $1 billion tab to bring the Tucson's roads up to par. And as I was driving in, I was listening, and Chuck was talking about having neighborhoods kind of take on the tax of taking care of their roads, organizing themselves, and it really trickles downhill, doesn't it? I mean, the state stops, they take the HERF money and use it for something else. And so it falls to the county and the city, and now that we're talking about individual neighborhoods trying to deal with their potholes.
Yeah, and people in Green Valley have already been doing that. We've done several stories on HOAs that just say, you know what, and these things can be as small as 20 homes or 200 homes, and they just say, you know what, forget it. We're not going to wait on them. Get our money together, and they do their own roads. There's something that's not quite fair in all of that because they pay taxes, but these are people.
Plenty of neighborhoods can't afford to do that.
Absolutely.
As well.
But the reality is, if you want it done, you're pretty much going to have to do it yourself.
Representative Ron Barber, you met with him recently, Dan. What did he have to say?
Yeah, well, we talked about a lot of things, and I think one of the interesting things was we met last week. One of the interesting things was I said, what do you think about Rosemont? And, he says, well, if it goes through, which I know we're expecting the EIS environmental impact statement real soon here, he says, the chances are it'll be tied up in court for a couple of years, and he's absolutely right. I know a couple of people who probably would be leading the charge. And so will they be digging in a year, this big hole over there in the Santa Ritas? I don't think he believes that that's going to be the case.
But that's what Rosemont has been saying, that they will be digging in a year.
They're trying to definitely reassure their investors, and they are, by some accounts, edging up against some money problems. They've had to invest a whole lot to try and get this project going, and they're coming up against a, not much left in the bank account, aren't they?
And that's right. At least that's the word on the street. But we have seen a little bit more vocal support of Rosemont. We've actually talked about this a little bit on the radio a year or 2 years ago. I could not find anybody who was willing to come out and say that they support this project in Green Valley and Sarita, other than the people who have connections with Rosemont. But today we're getting more and more people. I will tell you that once they raise the issue in our newspaper, they tend to get shouted down awfully quick. But there's a little bit more of a healthy debate out there about Rosemont.
Dan Scheer is with us. Dan is Green Valley News and Sarita Sun editor, and Dylan Smith is here from the fine online news service. If you haven't checked out TucsonSentinel.com, do so. It's all online, and very good reporting on that service. Dylan, we talked here on the Buckmaster Show. We had all three of the candidates that we talked to, Captain Al Melvin, Senator Al Melvin, Ken Bennett, Secretary of State, and Doug Ducey, the state treasurer. Doug Ducey has not formed an exploratory campaign for governor, but his name is being prominently mentioned.
He seems to be looking at it pretty closely.
Very closely. And
he's exploring exploratory?
He's exploring exploratory. Mr. Bennett is definitely exploratory, and Al Melvin exploratory, but both Bennett and Melvin definitely are in this race. Is it too early to be talking about all this?
Well, it's
certainly. Or do you have to get this early?
Everybody's starting to jockey for a position, and they've been doing that for. Some of them have been doing it for years now, anyway. So I don't know if it's too early to, handicap the horse race, as it were. But it's never too early to look at people's positions and how they might actually affect our daily lives. But some people have been running. Fred Duvall's been positioning himself for his run for governor for years now.
Yeah, and Fred Duvall, right now, the only Democratic candidate who is definitely in the race. And the interesting kind of backstory with Ken Bennett and Doug Ducey, they are very good friends, and it will be interesting to see whether Mr. Ducey, Dan Scheer, just decides to put his support behind Ken Bennett.
Well, that'll be interesting, but I tell you, I think the most interesting thing to happen in this may not occur until early next year. At least that's what Scott Smith is saying. And Scott Smith is the mayor of Mesa. He's done a couple of terms. He first was elected in 2008. He is in June going to be taking over as president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. He has been to Washington many times. He's very well thought of Washington on trips to represent the interests of Arizona and certainly his city. Smart guy. If he got in there, this could absolutely be a game changer. Real good candidate for the Republicans.
And Captain or Senator Melvin's path to victory, Dylan?
when you're looking at how things play out in a Republican primary,
if you get enough
on the right wing, you just might make it through somehow.
He claims he is definitely the most conservative of the candidates who are running. Let's talk a little bit about Tom Horn, the Attorney General. There's been some legal action up in Phoenix. His legal worries are not over, Dylan Smith?
Well,
over the campaign finance.
In the case, the government tried to skip over a couple of steps, and ironically, the case against Tom Horn needs to be referred to Tom Horn first off.
That is
so
weird.
He can say, I need to pass this off to somebody else.
It has to be referred to his office.
It has to go to the Attorney General's office, and they tried to go around that step because it seems pretty obvious that Tom Horn can't investigate himself. Yeah, we do have certain sorts of checks and balances and limits on things like that.
So he can, appoint somebody to investigate.
He'll probably end up referring it to either outside counsel or one of the county attorneys, something like that.
Meanwhile, Mr. Horn made some news early in the week concerning the Bisbee civil union matter, Dan Scheer.
Right, and just for the record, Wit Communications, which owns the Green Valley News, also owns the newspaper in Bisbee, so we've been following this real closely. But I think they've come to an understanding, meaning Horn and all the cities and towns in the state. Horn just didn't want the cities and towns to speak for the state. He said they cannot confer states' rights. They can act on behalf of the city if they want to give city benefits to partners, or if they want to come up with a hospital registry or something like that. That's fine. They can do that locally, but they cannot be stepping into the role of the state. And I think now everybody understands that. So maybe we'll see some other towns and cities starting to grapple with the same issue.
One of the big issues involved, inheritance rights and things like that, that'll end up, likely being litigated in a state court according to state law, and you can't have a city, grant somebody a right that isn't going to be actually recognized. Or, they could try, but it would be somewhat, a misrepresentation to say, well, you have this right when actually you don't.
Right. Exactly.
One of the rare times that we see the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind in the news happened this week. What's going on over there, gentlemen? Dylan, what's your take on that?
Well,
for folks is there a school
district in this area that is just not a divisive mess right now? what's going down in your neck of the woods? How's your school district?
Maybe
we're doing well.
Maybe Vail would be the exception. Amphitheater, a few of the other districts.
There are some complaints amongst the students and some of the faculty that people are. A couple faculty members were dismissed inappropriately. I think that's sort of the crux of the matter over at ASDB.
Right, and there's other things. There's the board president and the superintendent, conflict of interest, travel expenses. Everybody's jumping in on this one, though, like Dylan said, the parents and the students and whatever. But if you reach back to September, there were concerns raised in an audit about student performance. So, it's almost like a microcosm of Pima Community College, just a lot of mess on a lot of different levels.
So the school is overseen by the state of Arizona.
Right. Correct. And there are a couple of campuses, I think. There might be three. I know Phoenix and Tucson have one. And so we'll see. But it doesn't appear that the opposition is going to back down anytime soon. And I think we're going to see some changes there.
And they have hired – the state then has hired a private investigator.
Right.
To look into these accusations. I mean,
that's correct.
The kids must feel pretty strongly about it because they actually had a demonstration there at the school.
Well, and the kids are the most pure in all this. What they're saying is these two instructors who were dismissed meant something to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sense that maybe there was some retaliation and all this type of stuff. And all the kids are saying, we don't care about that. We care that these people were, in a sense, ministering to us and you've taken them away.
Meanwhile, at the legislature, the governor signed a bunch of bills this week, Dylan Smith, but I think the big story—
And vetoed a few as well.
Vetoed, yes, including the gold and silver bill.
There goes my coin collection.
Yeah,
I can't just take that to Circle K anymore.
Yeah, and take a bag full of coins.
And that was all about taxes, really, about capital gains taxes and just being able to avoid that. It wasn't like you were going to walk into a car dealership and plunk down two bars of gold and say, give me the Jag. That was not going to happen. But it was just about avoiding capital gains taxes on this type of stuff. But again, it's gone.
But the big story continues to be what is going to happen with this Medicaid expansion. And since the governor first proposed it in her State of the State address, there has been controversy. It continues used to gain. Now, the governor has tried to make a concession to those on the right, and she has tried to – well, actually, she's talked about axing family planning funds to win some votes for Medicaid expansion.
Yeah, it all comes down to abortion, just like a lot of things do. And so she is giving a nod to them, and we'll see if this actually goes through. It's hot and heavy right now, and the Center for – Arizona policy is very involved in this, as they generally are. And so they're very strong, and I think that the governor is thinking that she just has a much better chance of getting this through if she bows to them on that one.
And we had Representative David Gowan on the program last Friday, and he said definitely that they have the votes to kill this. But the point is, as far as the overall picture for a state budget, Dylan Smith, we could easily be pushing the deadline for a state budget and not have one here on July 1st.
It's looking more and more like that, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, we could do the same thing we do at the federal level and just sort of, you know, kick the can down the road.
Yeah,
here
wing
and
it.
There.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, a last minute give 30-day funding at a time.
Exactly.
Quickly, the Tubac Presidio State Park, Dan, some news about that.
Well, you know, there has just been a battle of several years ago when the state basically said, hey, we can't run our own parks. They gave it over to a private entity through Santa Cruz County to run it. They did it for 3 years, did a terrific job. But now there's a handoff to another group because the Tubac Historical Society has decided they can't do it anymore. Well, there's about $70,000 in disputed money there. There's a lot of back and forth. There's accusations. There's sheriff's deputies involved. There's all it's its own drama that has Tubac in an uproar, and it's going to end up in the courts, and it's real messy. The problem is that the park is, because there's so much turmoil going on, they're having trouble with donations because people are saying, well, wait a minute, are you going to close next week or whatever? Let me tell you this. The Tubac Presidio State Park is healthy. It's open. It's moving forward, and they're going to have a great summer. There is this dispute going on, but if you're a visitor, you're not even going to know it.
And, of course, this is all part of a few years ago the state parks department farming out to private folks to run some of the state parks.
Correct, because it was going to close them otherwise.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Dylan Smith, we can find you at TucsonSentinel.com, correct?
Indeedy.
All right, and Dan Scheer, Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, GVNews.com.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process. electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Oh, I do love to hear that music because it signals the official start of the weekend in Tucson, Arizona. This portion of Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which will be hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival. It's Memorial Day weekend, May 24th, 25th, and 26th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Plenty of good places, great places to stay in the Silver area, including Spirit Canyon Lodge, Lake Roberts Motel, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Check out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. It is officially the Cinco de Mayo weekend, and we welcome now Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage, emphasis on beverage, columnist and award-winning publicist. And Matt, it's a great weekend for Ann and I to celebrate our 41st wedding anniversary.
Oh, that is absolutely, what a milestone that is. Now, I hope that you will be treating your beautiful bride to a lovely dinner and a great cocktail tonight.
Oh, you're not kidding. And I know you've been in search of the biggest margarita in town, but
there's not one big enough, Bill Buckmaster.
And probably a good place to start would be Hotel Congress.
Yeah, what better way, Bill, to kick off Cinco de Mayo weekend than tonight at the Agave Fest at Hotel Congress, as you said. Now, the plaza is going to be surrounded by more than 40 purveyors of premium tequilas and mezcals, all available for you to sample alongside a killer taco bar. And 8 of Tucson's most highly decorated mixologists are going to be competing in an agave cocktail competition. And you'll be able to try them all and vote for your favorite. I'm going to be the MC for tonight's festivities, and I'm going to be looking forward to seeing all the Buckmaster listeners at the Hotel Congress at 7 o'clock tonight.
You got to be kidding. 40 different.
You start at A, and you move your way through the alphabet, Bill. There's no other strategy to adopt.
Give me a call after you reach number 20. what better way to go with the margarita? Got to do something salsa-wise, right?
Yeah, I mean, Cinco de Mayo weekend wouldn't be complete without some serious salsa. So get yourself down to the Garden Kitchen in South Tucson on Saturday morning at 10 for Salsa Fest. And they're going to have representatives of the South Tucson Fire Department and Police Department, as well as City Hall. They're going to be preparing and serving their best salsas, and guests are going to be able to taste and judge them all. And put that together with some salsa dancing, and you'll be celebrating Cinco de Mayo in style. I hope they're spicy enough for me, Bill, at Salsa Fest tomorrow in South Tucson.
Yeah, you're going to be in great shape after tonight and then the Salsa Fiesta. And then, of course, you'll head over to the Cinco de Mayo at one of your favorite eateries, which is very close to the award-winning Russell Public Communication offices in the foothills.
Yeah, I'm actually staring at it right now out my window. Sunday is actually the big day. I'll be celebrating Cinco de Mayo at Finney's Landing, right up on Sunrise and Swan, and this beach-themed bar and grill is going to feature specials on fish tacos and margaritas and other beverages. In fact, Bill, they're going to put together an entire Cinco de Mayo menu for the big day with some live mariachi music and special giveaways for staycations at local resorts. They're also going to be having their house-made Chabasco hot sauce that really is they're world-renowned for. They're going to be bottling that and selling that starting this weekend. So this is going to be a great time. Anchors away this Cinco de Mayo at Finney's Landing on Sunday.
And I know exactly what Matt Russell will be wearing. He'll have one of the Hawaiian shirts on as he heads over to Finney's. In fact, he may have it on right now.
Right with the sombrero. A perfect match.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Time to say thank you to Culligan Water, bottled water on the Culligan Show. For all of our guests, our in-studio guests, provided by Culligan. In fact, our guests on the Buckmaster Show live line probably wish sometimes they had a bottle of Culligan water right in front of them. But Culligan does supply our water here on the show, and we thank them very much. They offer the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We have coming up this afternoon the John C. Scott Show. John will be here from 3 to 5 in the AM 1030 KVOI, the Voice Studios. Then on Monday morning, it's Chris and Joe with Wake Up Tucson. But all of the expert talk, we have really a great lineup of expert talk here on the weekends on KVOI. So check it out starting tomorrow with the gardening show with Phil Cedar. We hope Phil is doing much better as he recovers from open heart surgery. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, she is the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt. Rose does such a fantastic job. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.